Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A common thread in so many religions is the idea that you, the individual, have to live the right kind of life, do the right kind of things, support the right kind of causes, avoid the bad. In some cases, you even need intellectual curiosity so that you have the smarts to figure out how to reach God. The point being is you, the individual, have to reach up and find God. You go to him. He's not coming to you. But that is not Christianity. Not at all. From the Garden of Eden to the stable of Bethlehem, all the way through to today's epistle lesson, God has been coming down to us. In Revelation chapter 21, John saw the new heaven and earth because the first had passed away. Then he saw God sending down a new Jerusalem. So take note, the direction of movement is downward. God coming to us. Not us going to God, God coming to us. Verse 3 in today's epistle explains, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." Revelation shows us that God is very, very interested in creation. He's involved. He's not some absentee landlord. God did not simply create and then depart and leave the universe to its own devices. Yeah, if that were the case, why would we be encouraged to worship? Why would we even bother to pray? Why would God have even sent us a Savior if he was not interested or involved in our eternal well-being? These last chapters of the book of Revelation are teaching that God is one day going to restore our world to a greater degree of glory than we are currently experiencing. In verse 4, John is told that the evils that beset us here and now are going to be one day gone for good. Sin, tears, death, mourning, and pain, these will all be gone in God's good time. Now, earth is not going to be wiped out. It's going to be wiped clean. Our bodies are not going to be replaced. They're going to be raised from the grave and reunited with our immortal souls. Not only is this the testimony of the book of Revelation, but other books of the Bible explain this too. In Romans 8, verse 21, Paul writes, "Creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." So it's God's promise to us that this world will be cleansed and restored and brought back to paradise, just like the Garden of Eden. Now, it's important to note, very important to remember, that when the Bible refers to Jerusalem, Israel, Zion, it's doing so in two different ways. Now, first, these are the geographic places you find on a map. David went to Jerusalem. Clearly David is going to a place on the map. But in Revelation and in other passages of Bible prophecy, Jerusalem is not a piece of real estate. It's not a place in the Middle East. It's the church. Now, how can this be? Well, again, as I said, when we read in the Bible that Jesus traveled to Jerusalem, it means just that. He traveled to a place. But in prophecy, Jerusalem, Israel, and Zion, they're described as being forever at peace and will never know trouble or be overthrown. Well, except that they were. The places were overthrown and troubled repeatedly. Jerusalem in prophecy means the Christian church, not a city in the Middle East. The church is the true Jerusalem where God dwells among us. Now, in the book of Genesis, God dwelt with us in the Garden of Eden. He stayed with our first parents, Adam and Eve. So you could say that the Garden of Eden served as God's temple on earth, but only for a short time. Long centuries later, after our first parents had brought sin into the world, King Solomon dedicated a beautiful temple in Jerusalem, Jerusalem the place. Well, what did it look like? Well, God really loved the Garden of Eden. So he ordered that the temple in Jerusalem be decorated to look like it. The walls of the temple were made of precious cedar, the floors of cypress wood. It was decorated with gourds and flowers and palm trees and pomegranates, gold and silver everywhere. And when Solomon dedicated the temple in the scriptures, we read that God came down from heaven so that his glory could fill the temple. So there we are again, God coming down. Now, this new Jerusalem that we see in the book of Revelation, God is going even further to make it look like the Garden of Eden, only more so. In our epistle today, we see that it has springs of living water flowing throughout it. Now, Solomon's temple didn't have that. The new Jerusalem does, so it's paradise indeed. Now, as you know, water gives life. And we'll hear later on in the book of Revelation, during this Easter season, in chapter 22, that this water of life flows to 12 trees that give healing to the nations. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember in the book of Genesis, God had one tree of life in the Garden of Eden? Well, as Revelation closes, the New Jerusalem has 12 trees of life, 12 being the number of perfect governance. So, the New Jerusalem, what God has in store for us is going to surpass even the paradise of our first parents. What blessings indeed does God have in store for his people? Even though we live in times of tribulation today, and we experience fears, sorrows, griefs, God promises us in today's lesson, Revelation 21, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. So until the close of the age, and we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it will, we are living as sinners in a sinful world. And it's difficult. Yet we don't have to grit our teeth and wait for the paradise to come. We don't have to wait for God to be with us because he's with us right now. God has not left us to our own devices. He cares about us. That's why he sent Jesus to be our Savior. That's why he invites us to pray and promises to hear our prayers. Our sins are forgiven now, not later. And we have his church. In it we hear his word, receive his sacraments, and in it we offer God our worship and praise. And make no mistake, God loves your prayers and your worship so much that he wants them to continue forever. And they will. Even after death claims our bodies, God loves us so much that he doesn't even want death in the grave to interfere with us being in his presence. The wages of sin is death, and one day it will come to us. But we don't belong to death. We belong to God. We are not consigned forever to the grave. We belong to God, and he promises to raise our bodies in glory. Our sins have not kept God away from us. Our sins have caused God to send Jesus to come down to be our Savior. Jesus gives us his own living water of holy baptism, of his word and sacraments. He comes down to us this very day to fill our lives and our worship with his very real presence. Thanks be to God for giving us this blessing. In the book of Revelation, God has again lifted the veil just a little bit to show us what wonders are in store. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.